website, RickSmithShow.com. So, here we are. The health care bill, they're claiming, and look, I put nothing in the dead category until it's absolutely dead. I put nothing past McConnell and the Republicans to revive this monstrosity. But for now, the reports are the horrible health care bill is not going to happen. And what they're going to just do is, you know what? The heck with it. It was all about repealing it anyway and giving massive tax breaks to the wildly wealthy while taking health care from millions of people. That was what it was really about. It was never about health care. The question is, what does that look like? And, you know, do the wealthy people really want or need the tax breaks? It's very, very, very strange time to me. That's why I've asked our good friend Morris Pearl. He's the chairman of the Patriotic Millionaires, also former managing director of BlackRock Incorporated, to come talk with us. Morris, thanks for taking time.
Great to be on your show, Rick.
So I look at this, and I guess now the, you know, the curtain's been pulled back. It's really about just the repeal, I think.
They want to get rid of taxes. And they just think that the government charging rich people taxes so that more people can get health care is just a bad thing, and they're against it.
Yeah, but you're a rich guy. You should be okay with that.
Well, I mean, it's not really going to affect me personally very much. And yes, sure, I'll pay less taxes if they repeal the taxes that were part of the Obamacare plan. But I don't want to live in a country where tens of millions of people are, like, bankrupted because they don't have access to health insurance. Now, I don't want to live in a country where lots of people have to, like, show up at hospital emergency rooms and be wards of the state because they don't have health insurance. That's not the kind of country where I want to live and where I want to build businesses and invest.
So you don't want to go back to the Dickinsonian era of debtors' prisons and all of that?
No. The United States, under its progressive policies, has been far better in other countries, and part of that is why. Part of it is because we provide the safety net for our people, and taking that away, it may be morally what the Republicans want to do. I don't speak for them, but it's not going to make our country better for either the poor people, the middle people, or the rich people.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this, and just, you know, the fact that you're talking about massive tax breaks for people who really, I don't know, are really all that desperate and need the tax breaks, while simultaneously, you know, taking life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness away from, you know, millions of people who are now not going to be covered again, just seems to be bad policy.
I'll tell you, they only want to lower the taxes for people who make investment income off, you know, people who make income off their investments, not for actual working people. They think that people have to work for a living, have to show up at 9 o'clock every morning and clock in and get paid by the hour. They don't get a tax break. People who can stay home all day and just open their mail and take out their dividend checks, they're the ones who somehow the Republicans feel deserve a tax break.
And I think that's important to highlight because, you know, when I talk to friends of mine, you know, they want lower tax rates. You know, we're taxed enough already, we're told.
Well, there's a reason that the people who founded the United States of America 200 and some odd years ago called our nation's Commonwealth, the Commonwealth of Virginia. And because we have to do things commonly. We have to put money together to do things. That's really all that taxes are. It's a word that we use for us putting our money together to do something jointly, whether it's building a road or supporting our military. Those are all things that individuals can't do. It just doesn't work. So we have to combine our wealth together in order to get those things to support the country.
Absolutely.
That's what taxes mean.
As I always say, you know, we do collectively that for which we can't do individually, like build roads and educate a populace and oh, by the way, healthcare for citizens.
Yes. We need things like an insurance program in order to provide healthcare for people. Some people have enormous expenses. Most people don't.
Right.
But we can't expect those few people that get very sick to be able to pay all of the cost of the healthcare. It has to be divided up among everybody. That's what taxes are.
Exactly.
Dividing expenses of running a country among the people.
Yeah. Here, let me ask you this though. I mean, you're an investment guy. You've made your money off of investing and looking at the future of our economy and all of that. A strict repeal plan. Wouldn't that harm the very people that they're trying to help with these tax breaks? I mean, you know, they're the people who are running these hospitals and these doctors' clinics and all of these places I know in rural America that immediately are going to collapse. I kind of look at this as very short-sighted. I mean, you're giving with one hand, but you're taking away from the very people that you're claiming to help with the other.
Well, I don't think they're really, I mean, I don't know what they're claiming to do or to help. I think what they're doing is they're not trying to help anybody. They're trying to promote a philosophy, and their philosophy is that things should not be done by the government, and the government should not be involved in this thing. That's what they're trying to promote. They're not trying to promote better health care for anybody. They're not trying to promote higher incomes for anybody. They're trying to promote a philosophy of that this is not a proper role of government.
That's an excellent point, and something that I think, you know, we really have to focus on, because you're right. It is all about this Ayn Rand kind of ideological world that the Paul Ryans of our country are pushing for. You know, and I don't think the average voter, I don't think the average working person, I don't think they view policy or things in that light. I think, you know, look, when you get sick, you should be allowed to go to the doctor. Just like if I get in trouble with the law, I have the right to see an attorney. If when I get sick, I should have the right to see a doctor. It just seems that simple to me.
I think so. I agree with you, Rick. I think it should be that simple. But I think we have to debate, like, is that right or not?
Right.
It's not, is it, will people make more money under this law or that law? It's we have to have a debate of what we think is right. And you and I both think it's right that you have the right to see an attorney when you're arrested and you have the right to see a doctor when you're sick. But there are people who don't agree with that, and we have to convince them not that they're going to make more money if our laws are passed, but that this is really the right thing to do.
So how do you get to that? I mean, we're at such a divided point in our history, and it really comes down to, and the scary thing to me, Morris, is that it almost comes down to team sport mentality that, you know, I'm in this camp or that camp or this splinter of this camp or that splinter, and, you know, I don't want to hear anything because, you know, I have my belief.
Yeah, I mean, I'm like that too sometimes. I go to the Democrat National Convention, I feel like I'm in like a sport, well, I am in a sports arena, but I feel like we're like fans of a sports team. We're not debating like what kind of policies you want to. We're cheering and running around and throwing balloons at each other. And that's true. That's true. It's a lot of it is just like team sports. But I think we have to get beyond that. I think we have to go back to even hundreds or thousands of years ago when our leaders were really trying to put countries together. You know, religious leaders were trying to do things for the masses. Political leaders were trying to put people together into larger societies. I think we have to go back and say, no, the people who say that everyone should be an individual and there should not be any government, that's a new thing that was just invented by a couple of rich people who are in the industry of coal mining and oil extraction a few years ago. That's not the way the world has been running for centuries or millenniums, and that's not the way the world is going to run in the future. That's just some new idea, really, the idea that everyone should be independent and do things for themselves and not be part of a society. I mean, yes, that might work if you're in the business of trying to extract oil from the earth or extract coal and minerals from the earth. But for everything else, you have to do things together.
Yeah.
And that's been true for hundreds of years, and it's going to continue to be true.
And the hope is at some point we come to this, because I look at, you know, I look at this healthcare thing, wildly unpopular, yet the Republicans were still moving it forward. And I look at the next fight that's coming, which is the tax reform. And I hate to use the word reform because this, again, is more ideological starving of the government. But this next fight that we see is coming, which, according to the commitment to reducing inequality index, would plummet us into the world of even greater inequality and make things so much worse that we would be, you know, just below Peru, Chile, and Sri Lanka. And I don't know, those are countries that I don't know that we should be competing to see how bad we are with.
Yeah, I mean, I go to places like Peru sometimes. I have a lot of friends in Peru, and it's a country with gross inequality. And I think the question we have to ask is that what the Republicans say is that, look, there's these people in other countries, Peru, China, wherever, who will do jobs for less money. So you have to lower your wages and lower your expectations to be like Peruvians or Chinese in order to keep your jobs. What we want to say is that no, we want to be the country with higher wages where people have enough money to afford to buy stuff. If I was going to start a new business selling stuff, whether it's shoes or ice cream or anything else, I wouldn't be in Peru. I'd be in San Francisco or New York, places where people are making a lot of money and can afford to spend money on stuff.
Exactly.
And I think that's what we have to explain to people, is that that's the kind of country that we want to be and we prefer being.
Were you surprised yesterday by the announcement by the Department of Homeland Security that evidently we're increasing our H-2B visas by 15,000 or 45% for the second half of the year? Were you surprised by that, given that yesterday was Make It in America Day?
You know, it is surprising. I mean, whether we should have more or fewer visas, I mean, I don't really have a problem with the H-2B program. I mean, I don't know that much about it, but yes, I mean, it's surprising that they're both increasing visas for people who are working and decreasing visas for people who are like want to be tourists or students or something else. So, yes, I think that's bad.
I just find it interesting that, you know, there are a lot of workers, a lot of people in this country who need jobs, and you keep bringing in people who are going to be exploited. We know this. We see it time and time again. The wages are poverty wages, the long hours, it's hard, dirty work, and these people are exploited, and yet we keep bringing folks in, which I think, you know, keeps dropping the bottom of the labor pool out of the market.
Yeah, it's hard to get Americans who are willing to be exploited like that. So people in H-2Bs who cannot leave their jobs without leaving the country. I mean, in some cases, they're great employees. They won't quit. They're live in fear of disappointing their employers and being fired.
Yeah.
So in some ways, they're ideal employees, much better than Americans.
Yeah, they're almost like slaves, only you don't have to actually take care of them.
Yeah, if we could bring back slavery, that'd be even better for certain employers, but I don't think that's on the cards.
No, I have a friend who says we'll never bring back slavery, because in the old days the owner actually feed them and take care of them when they were sick and all of that other stuff. Now we can just borrow them for a while, exploit them, and then they're off on their own to deal with their own crisis. And of course, not giving them health care while we're here in the country.
Yeah, I mean, there are employers who prefer people in H-2B visas because they're able to exploit them more, and I just don't think that's right.
Right.
I think these people should have much more civil rights than they do now, the right to like change employers and things like that.
So how do we get people like you into office? I mean, how do we get, you know, people with your mindset? And I guess the other question is, in the circles that you run, because look, we demonize rich people a lot in this country, you know, as being greedy and wanting a whole bunch. And I think it's more because our political classes got this ideology of that we should be giving them more. But how do we get folks to, you know, to one, maybe stop demonizing the rich so much, and two, you know, get some of your ideas enacted, because it sounds like you've got the right ideas.
Well, I try. I'm in Washington, D.C. today, you know, working with our people in our Patriotic Millionaires office to try to promote our ideas more. That's why I'm on your show. You know, I normally live in New York. I mean, and in New York, it seems like everyone agrees with me. So I think what it is there's this great divide in our country, and that a bunch of people have just been told that they're not supposed to do well, that they're supposed to be serfs or something, that they're supposed to lower their wages in order to be more accommodating for their employers. And I think we have to change that philosophy. I think we have to change the philosophy and say that no, you know, the employers are supposed to be more, the employers, the company owners are supposed to be more accommodating to the people that live there. You know, this changed in the 1980s with, you know, when Carl Icahn took over TWA and said, oh, we can make a lot more money if we get fewer workers. And yeah, he was right. He made a lot more money for a little while, and the company's no longer in business now. But, you know, this whole greed is good idea. And I think we just sort of change the philosophy back a little bit, you know, go back to, you know, the 1970s, you know, revert greed is good. That should no longer be sort of the mantra. Companies should be run for the benefit of how much making the most profit over the next 3 month period. That's not good either. And say that, you know, people get the philosophy that business owners are supposed to be looking out for the long term of the country. And that's tough. It needs management. It needs, you know, has to come from the top. you know, Ronald Reagan sort of explained to people that, oh, government is evil and you should get rid of the government and taxes are evil and everything is evil the government does. And I think we need to do a president who will take a different approach and say, actually, no, we're supposed to be doing stuff together. We're supposed to be helping each other, and that's what's good. And, you know, we need someone who has that philosophy. Not, it doesn't really matter the details of this visa program or, you know, that health insurance program, but sort of the general philosophy that we want to be in a country where it's considered good to do stuff together and help other people.
Wow. I almost can't imagine a country that looks like that. I mean, I grew up in one, but I can't imagine one going forward.
I mean, there are a lot of them, you know, Canada, France. I mean, a lot of European countries work that way, just not the United States.
So in looking at this healthcare, you know, crash and burn, or what appears to be a crash and burn, do you think there's a moment where maybe there's a pivot around this to where finally people are waking up to the reality that you've got a political ideology that is, you know, rewarding wealth and punishing, you know, poor people? I mean, do you think at some point people kind of turn?
I mean, half the people already thought that and half of them don't. I don't know if people are changing their minds. In some ways, part of the problem with the health care is that some Republicans thought it wasn't evil enough.
Right.
I honestly think what
you're doing is vitally important because, you know, look, you know, we're told that rich people are just greedy and they want more and more for them and hooray for me and the, you know, the hell with everybody else. But to hear you say, look, you know, I did well and I want everybody else to do well. We should all be able to do well. I think is refreshing.
Even Goldman Sachs' mantra is long-term greedy. It means not being greedy for next month or next year, but being greedy for the next generation, wanting the best you can get for your kids' generation. That's how I am. I'm greedy, too. It's just what I want is different than what they want. You know, I want the best for our kids and our grandkids, and that's not meaning I should make the most money possible over the next few months. A different philosophy.
All good stuff. And I hope people will check out your website, patrioticmillionaires.org. We'll make sure we get a link at the ricksmithshow.com. Morris, always great talk with you. I appreciate
great
you taking some
show.
Time for us.
Thank you, Rick. Great to be in your show.
All good stuff. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
It's ringing clear. Now who'd have thought that after all, something as simple. Was rock and roll.
Not right wing, just right. The Rick Smith Show.